Well, today we find the apostles hiding from the temple leadership in the upper room out of fear. These men will not really realize what had transpired until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would bless them and empower them beyond even their wildest beliefs. The apostles hightailed it and ran the other way from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on Maundy Thursday when he was arrested. And they're hiding even though they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. The apostles were overjoyed and elated when they had seen the risen Jesus, but not so much that they were ready to leave and get up out of that upper room. Even though the Lord greeted them with his peace, his shalom, the disciples apparently were too stunned to receive that peace, that shalom, from Jesus' initial greeting, because they didn't rejoice until after he proved who he was. When they recognized him in that locked upper room, their joy became so great it just could not be contained. Not only had the disciples seen the risen Lord, received their call to ministry and the power to forgive sins, but they themselves received new life in the Holy Spirit, breathed on them by their beloved Master. They must have been ecstatic. They would not know what was going to come later when they would fully receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They must have been giddy, to put it mildly. But one of them wasn't there, and that was Thomas. Thomas comes back through that locked door and gets met at the door by his brothers with, "We've seen the Lord." They go on. "He was here, and he gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to forgive sins." Can you really relate to Thomas? The rush of emotions, excitement, and then disappointment, sadness, concern, disbelief, or, as some label it, doubt. But 8 days later, in the following week, Jesus came back to that same locked room and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Thomas is there this time, and Jesus directly addresses him. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus addresses Thomas's concerns, his disappointment, his sadness, his disbelief, and most pointedly, his doubt. Thomas doesn't even have to touch Jesus. Thomas's reaction is one of wonder, awe, humility, and amazement. What is it that he says? "My Lord and my God." We are truly blessed with these words that were given here. A very special insight by the Apostle John into this gospel. Thomas proclaims Jesus as "my Lord and my God." And here, near the end of the gospel, we hear the words of the only disciple to actually announce Jesus as God. Others had declared him the Son of God, and others called him the Messiah, and Jesus himself spoke of himself as the Son of God. But Thomas said something very special. After Jesus speaks of Thomas's belief in having seen the risen Lord, Jesus then speaks about other believers and their faith. He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is special, and it gets very personal. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is talking to me as well. Blessed are we. Blessed are we who believe, even though we have not seen. Jesus is telling us that believing is indeed seeing. How awesome it is that we can see Jesus and learn from him when we read and meditate on the complete story of God's written word, God's hand in salvation history of all humanity. It's found in the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We could see Jesus when we freely worship and gather with others. Oh, even though we long to do that, we may be not doing it in person together, but we're online together, and we can feel the community, the continuity, the love, and the fellowship of being believers. We may not be in person, but we know that others are joining today with us in worship. We can see him when we repent of our sins, as we're doing today. We can see him as we go ahead and do morning prayer, as we take our prayer books and we do family prayer, all because of the sacrifice of Jesus dying in our place. We can be in communion with him. We can see him when we pray the prayer of spiritual communion on page 677, seeking his presence spiritually, since we can't receive the real presence of Christ physically in the bread and wine during this horrible pandemic. We are blessed that we live in a land where we can worship in complete and total freedom, and that we have the capability of being able to talk to one another and to see God's word in action through the internet of all things. We can show him to others by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, you might say, how can I do this when we sheltered in place? Do you have a phone? Do you have an iPhone, an iPad, or other device? Do you have a PC that you can FaceTime or call people? An email with encouraging words can go a very long way to touch one another. We can actively live the words of the Apostle Peter, who wrote in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. My dear friends, today's Holy Gospel message is about believing in the resurrected Jesus and sharing his love with others. John reminds us in his words given at the end of today's Gospel message, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Today, as so very many are in their homes, their upper rooms, separated from the outside world, for fear of the invisible threat from COVID-19, I heartily encourage you to ask the risen Lord Jesus to come to you, to visit you, and bring you his peace, his shalom, his comfort, his provision, and his direction, that he would touch your heart. May your welcoming reaction not be one of fear and doubt, but like Thomas, of joy and wonder, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.